All right. Good morning. Thanks for coming. Has everybody had a smooth Sunday morning so far? Didn't oversleep, go through all four of your alarms, and we're be a fun bunch. Do we typically close the door or leave them open for airflow? We'll leave it open. All right. Recording is in progress. So if you're going to do any gossiping, just keep that to a whisper. And if you're going to do any interacting with the questions and things like that today, just speak up so everybody can hear you the best you can. Let's start off with a quick word of prayer. We will get through this relatively quickly today. Let's all join together. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the desire to improve. Thank you, God, for the desire to get closer to you. Asking you, Lord, to please meet us today. Give us open minds, Lord, to the material that's being shared. God, help us to be receptive to your word. Help us, Lord, to put this encouraging word into action. We'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. So, as mentioned, welcome to the first session of Kingdom Purpose Pathway Series. Today we're going to be discussing finding your place in ministry and service opportunities and breaking through barriers to serving. So finding your place in ministry and service opportunities and breaking through barriers to serving. I see a lot of really familiar faces, except for a couple. Let me just do a quick introduction, I suppose. I'm Cody Smith. I serve on the music team primarily and try to pitch in wherever there's a need. But primarily, I serve on the music team. So nice to meet you guys and ladies today. Let's kick off with a scripture here for finding your place in ministry and service opportunities. Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Does anybody have like an explanation for that scripture? Anybody want to shout it out? What does that scripture mean? Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Amen. So Becca says, do it for God's glory, not to be recognized. This verse encourages us to approach all work. All work. This even means plumbing. This means carpentry. This means finance, teaching in schools, nursing, whatever it may be. All work should be approached with diligence and sincerity, not for the sake of pleasing our earthly employers, our family, friends, church, but for the Lord, as Miss Becca says. It implies a shift in our motivation. It helps us put our focus on pleasing God rather than people. Did you read my notes? I always wanted to say something like that, you know, if I ever got in front of people. You stole my notes. All right. Verse 24. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Here in this scripture, we see that there's a reward for the diligence mentioned in verse 23. It assures that our labor done with the right heart and for the right motivation will be rewarded by the Lord with eternal inheritance. It also reinforces that our primary service and purpose is to the Lord Jesus Christ. I like these points here. We were saved to serve. What else are you going to do the rest of your life, right? You need to serve someone. You need to love people. It starts with your family, I believe, and then your community and church. But last week I was encouraged, and I thought it was really, really, really timely and neat, and I immediately jotted it down so I wouldn't forget. Our guest speaker, he talked about something in particular at one point, and he said, everyone ought to be doing something. Does anybody remember that? He was about 7 foot tall. He had white hair. Do you remember him? No, I'm kidding. No. It's hard to remember, like, you know, we hear so many sermons, but that one stuck out to me. Everyone ought to be doing something. His point was around participating in the work of the Lord and or the moving of the Lord. You know, when you're in church, you can sit around and watch, or you can participate. And you may just be surprised your participation leads to a blessing. Even when it doesn't feel right, even when you feel like prideful and stiff and like I'm not doing nothing today, that's not my favorite singer singing or what have you. But participation really makes a difference in our lives. It fills up our cups more than we even realize. Every believer is called to serve and minister. I'm going to read out of Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And I'll stop there. If you're filled with the Spirit, you are filled with purpose. Quick status check. Who in here serves in some capacity in the local church, in the CLC? Excellent. We can all be dismissed. Why are you here? I'm kidding. No, I'm thankful for that. Thankful that probably 80% of the room just raised their hand. That's great. Oh, this is one of my favorites. I wish that this was an original thought here. So discover your place in the body. Ministry is not a mystery. It's a matter of discovery and obedience. What does that mean? This is not the Bible, but it's a very good summation of what it is. What is ministry? Let me ask you that.
Serving.
That's it. No degrees required. No like supernatural visitation from armies and armies of angels in your bedroom at night. It is serving. It's not a mystery. It's a matter of discovery and obedience. That second part there, it's a matter of discovery and obedience. What do you think we mean by that?
Finding what you're best able to do and doing it.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Perry. Finding what you're best able to do and doing it. If you're a cook and you're not that great at anything else, it's time to cook for some people. If you're an accountant and that is your passion, it's time to serve someone in that capacity. Maybe help someone with their finances. These are simple examples, but you can serve people outside of church. You can serve people outside of the pulpit and outside of the classroom. All right. We're cooking. Let's get some questions out here. What is your passion and burden? Think about that for just like 5 seconds. It'll seem like an eternity in here. Let's count to five. Let's think about it. What is our passion and burden internally? Okay. Would anybody like to shout out their passion or burden? I'll take two.
Teaching.
I love it. David loves teaching.
Encouragement.
Vital. Does anybody have any dealings with teachers or encouragers? I probably wouldn't be here today if it weren't for an encourager keeping me going. Like, really timely, like you're walking out to your car and you're like, man, I'm tired of this. And then somebody just randomly comes up to you and gives you an encouraging word can sustain you for another 6 months, 6 years. Or I'm thankful for teachers who get into the nitty gritty of the Word of God and just help you uncover and discover things about it. Those are two impactful things and two quite different. You know, maybe teachers are more visible and encouragers are more behind the scenes, but you see how they're very, very important. Have you tried serving in an area you're not familiar with? Perhaps you can learn the importance of a certain... Perhaps you can learn the importance of certain functions by doing this. Has anybody tried serving in an area you're just like, I don't know what this means, but I'm here to help? I kind of sort of felt like that Thursday night when I painted a lamb or a sheep for VBS. And then I had the convenient excuse of watching my daughter for the remainder of the time. But I enjoyed that. It was fulfilling to paint props for VBS. Are you seeking feedback from leadership? Are you passionate about getting involved, but you're just not sure where to start? Are you asking leaders? You don't have to ask pastor necessarily. He's got several clergy that help serve with him. Many people. Just ask anybody. I mean, I could just stumble in the hallway and talk to Sister Perry and just be like, "What can I do around here?" And she'll point you in the right direction. There's things to do. Who has prayed and fasted and sought the Lord on what can I do to serve? What can I do to help? Anybody? Penny has. Can you tell me an example, Penny, if you don't mind, about a time when you sought the Lord and he revealed something to you that you could be helpful with?
In times past, I was asked to do teaching for the ladies' ministry, and I did a lot of praying and fasting prior to that because I wanted to make sure that I delivered what the Lord would have me to deliver to the ladies and be correct and help people understand the Word.
Love it. Prayer and fasting will also, it will allow your spirit to reveal your purpose, or the Spirit of the Lord, sorry, to reveal your purpose. Something, we've heard this before, but I want to reiterate it. God doesn't, I have to touch my computer, it'll go to sleep on me, it's sleepy. But God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. I've heard variations of that over the years. It's so cool to hear. It's so cool to hear. And you say it to people, and it's actually quite easy to encourage people. Zach, you can do anything. It's easy for me to say that. But then when I look in the mirror, I'm like, Cody, you can't do everything. You know, and that's true, but you also, it's really difficult to live that out because you kind of find all the reasons why you shouldn't be doing something. Even being up here this morning, you know, like yesterday there was a series of events that occurred that I was just thinking, man, I'm a hypocrite. I shouldn't be talking to these people tomorrow. But you press on, but just got to remember that God doesn't call the qualified. If he always picked like rock stars to do stuff, how could he get the glory? You think about the obvious people, Moses. I mean, how could he get the glory if Moses was like, you know, Lee Stone King, James Grever, and, you know, rolled into one, you know? Like, he could get the glory, but it's just God likes using people who have a deficiency so he can let his glory shine. He qualifies the called. Every ministry, seen or unseen, matters. I would actually say those that are unseen you know, are some of the most critical ones that people should give a chance. We see a lot of stuff happen on the surface, whether it be our website or our church service, on the screens or what have you. And we think all of the people that's on those screens are like making it all happen, when really it's people that you probably haven't even met yet who are making it happen. Sound techs, video techs, behind the scenes marketing people who are like, oh, this would be a good idea if we showed this. So I encourage you to think outside the box. Ministry is not this, talking to 20 people. Ministry is serving. Okay. Breaking through barriers to serving. I'm going to go over three things that we think is a barrier. Let me get my gold ribbon ready here for my next scripture. Make myself notes in my notes. Time. I'm too busy. Where'd you go? I'll show my preview. Gotta keep you in suspense so you'll stay the whole time. I hope you didn't read those tiny little boxes. But time. I'm too busy. You know, I've given this a lot of thought. I mean, I've even had a bad attitude about it because I'm like, you ain't busy, I'm busy, you know. I've given this quote, idea, expression, whatever you want to call it, quite a bit of thought over the years. And my conclusion isn't necessarily groundbreaking. You've heard this before. In fact, Pastor may have said it Wednesday. But the bottom line is most of us have difficulty prioritizing our lives. We have difficulty prioritizing our lives and then following through with our, really, oftentimes they're good intentions. Oh, I'll be there. I'll help you clean that up. I'll be there. I'll do that, Mom. Or I'll be there and do that, sis. I'll be there, Pastor. Something came up. And by come up, I meant my alarm came up and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. No. No, we have good intentions. But really, they should have been commitments. They wouldn't be like, I should be able to help you, Zach. No, okay, hold on, Zach. Okay, I'll cancel that. Zach, I'm going to gas up my truck. I will be there. That's different than, yeah, I should be able to help you. Yep. But the priorities, I think that's what Pastor said, priority problems. I've been a victim of this since the time is moving slow. I'm going to share an example. I mean, I've always viewed myself as a relatively productive person. Been able to manage several different things in life, work, school, you know, church, family. But about 2.5 years ago, there was this analytical tool that came out on all the iPhones where it shows you how much time you spend doing things. And I realized I was wasting, like, it was like 14 or 18 hours a month on social media. And that's a lot. When I looked at it, I was kind of like, ew, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed of myself. Like, but then I got into a little bit of research, and like, I was kind of on the lower end of things. Sometimes people can spend, six plus hours a day on it. So I thought, oh, well, Lord, I'm not too bad, right? But sin is sin, and no kidding. There's no little or big sins, right? No, I'm not saying it's a sin. But for me, it was a time waster. And honestly, having made the choice to remove social media from my life, it's actually been very like helpful to my mental health. The way I see the world is different because I've removed a lot of noise. That's me. I'm not saying you have to do this, but it ain't bad. It ain't a bad thing. Coming for you, Mark. I'm coming for you, Mark. I'm taking your kingdom down. But anyway, I left social media because I was wasting, let's say, 20 hours a month that I could have been reading my Bible, spending time with my kids, going fishing, doing something completely different, much more fulfilling. I had priority problems. Okay, beat that to death. And there's probably really amazing testimonies in here, and I hope we get to hear one of those in a minute. But there are 8.2 billion people, roughly, on the planet. Some are dying, some are being born. So it's roughly 8 billion, okay? We all have different physiques, different clothing, different houses, homes, cars, money, assets, talents, gifts, you name it. We're all different. But there's one thing that we all have an absolutely equal share of. Does anybody know what that is? Time. This is humbling to read stuff like this because you justify yourself like, oh, well, I'm a doctor and, you know, or I'm a plumber and I'm a teacher. I'm a mom of 12 kids and we all have the same amount of time. We just have to make good choices what we're going to do with that time. So it's not unfair. It's just, what are you going to do with it? And I'm not here to gaslight you, if that's the word. I'm not trying to, like, manipulate you. I just want you to think about these things. There is time. Time as we know it anyway. You know, there's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so on and so forth. I thought about making this chart of, like, all the minutes and seconds, but that's just been done before, so I just forget it. But what are you doing with your time? Are you storing up earthly goods, treasures, or are you looking to partake and contribute to something bigger than yourself? I mean, hey, I would say if you have balance and your priorities straight, you could do a little bit of both. You can save for retirement and bless the kingdom. You can do both. You need to consider that. Matthew 6:33, hopefully you've read it by now. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We have time. We just got to prioritize. Before we move on, can anybody share maybe like a tip on, though, maybe somebody in here who raised their hand and say they serve. What's a tip that you would share with people considering getting involved at their church, for example, and serving? What's a tip you would share to help them manage their time? What's something you guys do to make sure you fulfill your family duties, your work duties, and then also contribute to your community and your church?
Ask questions and make sure that you have the time before you commit to that ministry. Make sure that you're prioritizing kind of that to-do list, and then what are the demands of that ministry that you're going into. Make sure that you have a clear expectation and understanding of that, because I feel like sometimes we get so excited about the ministry that we forget about the logistics of it. And then you get involved and you get very burnt out because you're like, oh, I didn't realize it was going to be, you know, every Tuesday night I was going to have to be here for practice late, or, you know, whatever the situation may be.
Ask questions. Ask what are the expectations. I love that. We're doing great on time. One more.
Situation recently is I help with the music at the Bristol Church, and had a younger girl who had agreed to help one Sunday, and she told me that she had accidentally, you know, misplanned and had something else come up that same day, so she wasn't going to be able to help. And I just gave her a little tip, you know, because it's something you're not used to doing every week, add it to your calendar, and before you make plans, you know, check your calendar, and just making sure that you have, when, like Brittany was saying, when you're committing, yes, you can get excited, but also making sure that you have written it down, like put it in your calendar, and made sure that that time has been set aside for that.
Love it. Thank you, ladies. Thank you.
I want to add one thing.
Yes, sir.
And kind of go along with what Brittany said. When you decide to get involved, don't neglect your family.
That's right.
For the family. Schedule time for the family, because that's the easiest thing to throw to the side, or well, I'll be here for this, I'll be here for this, I'll be here for this. You got to leave some nights open for family.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's good. My five, we try to protect, whoa, come on now, computer. We try to protect Mondays, and we try to protect Saturdays. That's very good advice. Thank you. Confidence. I'm not good enough or talented enough. Here's that quote. This is a lie. This is a lie from the enemy. It's irrelevant, really, because like we've seen so many examples. And I should have wrote these down, but me being the way I am, I thought, oh, these people have heard this. But there's countless characters you can do studies on from the Bible who were inadequate, and God used them in a powerful way. So when you have this lie come into your head, I'm not good enough or talented enough. This is a lie from the enemy himself. Like he's an armchair critic. He is a loser. And all he can do is plant these random seeds of doubt in our heads. We have to allow the Holy Ghost to give you direction, to give us direction, and boldness. This doesn't come from our abilities, but it comes from knowing who called us. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll spare you all some stuff, but He qualifies the called. It's true.
Can I add something to that?
Yes, add it.
When we say we're not good enough and whatever, what we're doing is really comparing ourselves to somebody else.
Amen. Yep.
The Bible tells us not to compare ourselves with somebody else.
Amen.
We just got to do what you said. God's called you. He's going to make it happen.
That's good. Comparison does not glorify God. If anything, it's insulting to what He's created. So if I can't speak or teach like David, it's foolish and unwise to say, well, I'll never do it like he does it. You just need to do it. This next one, I don't want to be tied down. This is, you know, it kind of goes in with commitments and priorities and stuff like that. It's overwhelming sometimes to kind of to commit to a thing. I'm sure there's been half a dozen birthday parties Cheryl and I have signed up for over the years since we've had kids. And when it comes time to go to the party, we're just like, man, is there anything else we can do besides go to that party? No. Are there some pipes you need to fix under the house or something? No. I'm kidding. It's overwhelming to make those types of commitments sometimes, especially to the church, because you may feel a certain way, like, oh, I messed up this week, and I got mad at my dog and kicked him, and I don't deserve to go to VBS, or Kids Life Takeover, as we call it here, and teach now. I'm just going to quit. That's not good. That's a cop-out. And what I'm about to say here, I hope this doesn't come across as manipulative or gaslighting or whatever. And I might cry. It's okay. So this isn't meant to guilt trip you. But just I want you to think about something. If you're thinking, I don't want to be tied down. So the creator of the universe, the one who holds all the galaxies in his hand, and those 8 billion people, they all have hair, some more than others, as we can see and feel and touch in this room. He knows all those hairs on 8 billion people. He holds the galaxies in his hands. The world is in his hands. This is where I got to move that mic really low, Zach. That way you can't hear all the tears. But He robed himself in flesh. To be what? So, for me, that's the only reason. I'm sorry. I love it. I love it. I love crying. But so it's the only reason I need. That's it. All right, Black Ribbon. I got notes here, guys. I got notes for everything. I got notes for it all. So I'm going to read my Black Ribbon scripture to you. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. All right. Luke 9:62. And I know what you're thinking. 62 verses. Church, I didn't know when it was going to end. This is the longest chapter I've ever read in my life. But they saved it for the very end. Luke 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So, I'm not here to guilt trip you. Really not. I want you to want to do what you want to do. You know, it has to be like a... You have to want to do it for it to really kind of mean something, because we can fool everybody. We can fool the pastor. We can fool our leaders. We can fool our families. But we can't fool God. And I pray that our hearts are in this when we choose to serve. But to the best of my knowledge, this scripture, Luke 9:62, the never-ending chapter, as I like to call it. I'm just kidding. This scripture means that those who begin to follow Jesus and then hesitate or turn back are not fit for the kingdom of God. I mean, read that, study it. I'm happy to be wrong. But whenever Jesus says something, I take it kind of seriously. And he talks about stuff like this in Matthew 2, 25 with the talent story and everything. But the plow represents committing to follow Jesus. Looking back symbolizes being tempted by worldly desires or concerns. So, there's our reason to commit. To me, that's the ultimate reason, as I sat here and lost a pound of liquids talking to you about it. That takes us into the kind of the last piece, but I want to say this real quick. We're doing good on time. We're having a good time, right, Daniel? We're having a good time. 33 after. Serving is not convenience-based. It is covenant-based. That's not my thought. This is from the like the people who organized this curriculum. But I loved this. Serving is not convenience-based. It's covenant-based. So, yeah, it hurts to get up early. It hurts to sacrifice during football season if you're a football watcher to go hand out groceries or whatever when your favorite game's on. Like, that stuff, it's very temporary, though. And those are very kind of silly, simple, cliche-type examples. But we're in a culture, in a society that pushes comfort, convenience. Everything comes quick. Everything has to come quick. You can have a steak dinner in 4 minutes. Like, you can go through a drive-through and have a steroid injected hamburger in like 34 seconds. I mean, we love this stuff, but and that's not helping our cause any. But delayed delayed satisfaction is good. Suffering is good. Suffering builds you. Suffering grows you. Sacrifice builds you. It grows you. It helps you. Is this slide 11? Let's don't go there yet. Man, I showed my hand again. I can never play cards. When you value the kingdom, you will make time. When you trust the Spirit, you'll gain confidence. And when you understand the cross, you'll make a commitment. And there are blessings of serving. We'll go into this. Growth. Your gifts sharpen the more you use them. What I'm doing today, while it's not that great or clumsy, or it's not that great and it's somewhat clumsy, just think, if I hadn't done things like this for the last few years at work or in various situations throughout church, I would be even worse for you guys to listen to. So think about that. You got to use it. Let it say yes to opportunities. If someone says, hey, would you like to speak to the ladies at tea party? Say yes. Chances are God's about to help you. He's about to let you sharpen skills that are deep within you. Connection, you feel part of the body. Being alone is not good. It leads to depression. It leads to bitterness, resentment, comparative type narratives you have in your head, like, oh, I can't stand those people. I don't want to be with them. They're so dumb. Or I just disagree with how she feels about things. Or connection is good. It tears down walls. It actually reveals to you that you're more like your neighbor than you think you are. And your neighbor's more like you. And then you share struggles. And, if you're not serving, you miss this opportunity to connect. You miss this opportunity to realize that Zach, for example, while he is a amazing, handsome young man, talented, probably polar opposite on the outside, obviously, of me, we share a lot of values. We share a lot of passions. I never would have knew that if I had not given him a chance. Same thing with many others, and I hope that you've had examples like this. Fulfillment, I touched on this earlier about filling up your cup. The blessings of serving allows us to be fulfilled. There is no joy like knowing you're being used of God. I mean, how proud, can you be? Not a unhealthy pride, but like a pride that's like, yeah, I work for the Lord. I work for the Lord, and I serve Him. It's fulfilling. And then, of course, reward. Colossians 3:24, we talked about that earlier, knowing that of the Lord, I think verse 24 says, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Serving builds the church, and it keeps us anchored. People who serve are most likely to stay. There's probably data on that. I don't have it, but I can kind of tell you from watching over the years, being a part of a few churches, the people who serve and get involved, they're there. You can pretty much count on it. They'll be there 40 years later. They're committed. And then finally, you'll never grow past your place of serving. Like, you're not going to, again, I'll use a cliche example. You're not going to, actually, I'm not going to use that example because there's so much emphasis on it. We'll use a different one. Like, you're not going to play in the NBA, not that you would want to, by just shooting a few free throws every night after dinner. You're not going to be in the top 400 athletes on the planet. Out of 8 billion, I've used that number a lot. And say half of them are men, you're not going to be playing in the NBA just by shooting a few free throws every night. It takes dedication. It takes time. And you're not going to grow past the process. And serving is a process to me. Like, it's it helps you move along in your life, and you get to do different things, if you'll say yes, that the Lord uses to grow you and help you. I'll reflect back on this opportunity to speak to you guys today and realize that I've learned so many things. And I won't be able to explain that right now because I'm not seeing it fully, the big picture. But I'm glad I said yes. And anyway, so this leads us to our closing challenge. I want to talk a little bit. We got about 5 minutes. What has God gifted you to do? What excuses have you used to delay your purpose? And who are you helping by stepping into your calling? What does God give you to do? I pray that you would pray, Lord, show me where I belong. What excuses have you used to delay your purpose? Talk with a leader about where you can get started. Just stop making excuses. Schedule an appointment with somebody and say, hey, I'd like to get involved here. And then who are you helping by stepping into your calling? You're helping, man, I'm gonna avoid the tears. I've already used 3 Kleenex. But, man, it is so important what you do. It is so important. You probably won't actually realize, unless you're just lucky enough to speak with somebody, about what you do and how much it matters. There was something that happened a while back, and I'm trying to be really transactional so I don't get emotional here for the recording. But something happened, and I was like, oh, just another day in the office. That felt good. I wish that could have went better, blah, 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 blah. And I just kind of left the moment, and it was over. And then I had somebody who I hadn't talked to in a while. They started talking to me about 2 weeks later at a prayer service. Prayer had ended, and we were just chit-chatting. And he said, did you know that such and such repented during that service? Such and such, you know, rekindled their daily walk with the Lord. And to me, I needed to hear that at that time. This person didn't realize they were encouraging me. But the thing that I was a part of, that several people were a part of, not just me, several people were a part of this event, it led to somebody potentially making heaven, you know? So what you do matters. There's nothing too small. It's all important. Do we have any closing examples or remarks on serving? We've got about 3 minutes.
Yes. I was going to say, don't be scared to step out of your comfort zone. And I have an example. I was asked a few years ago to speak during a Mother's Day service because I was not a mother. And when I was asked this, I knew that I would not be a mother. And as you can see, I have a miracle mom. I didn't know that she would be there. I didn't know that I would be a mom. And so when I was asked, I'm not going to lie, it kind of stabbed my heart a little bit. I was like, ooh, pushing me up. Because you're not a mom, it was something that I struggled with. It was something that, you know, I felt like I wasn't qualified. I felt like I wasn't the person that should speak. And I said yes. I stepped out of my comfort zone and I said yes because I knew that the person that asked me had been in prayer for who they wanted in that service. And I knew that God had a bigger purpose than what I could see. And I may not have impacted, I don't know if I impacted anyone else in that service, but I can say me personally, just by saying yes, I grew so much, and my walk with God grew so much, and my faith in God grew so much. And so that's just kind of a personal example. Even if it's something that's scary, even if it's something you feel so vastly unqualified for, and there's physical evidence and proof that you're unqualified for it, God has a purpose, and He can use every situation in your life for good and to impact others in a way that you may not realize.
Amen. That's powerful. I forgot about that. That's huge.
That's what I was going to say. You usually get out of stuff more than you put into it. You know? It's like teaching children Sunday school class in the past. I learned more teaching the children than I had in just studying it on my own because it forces you to look at things that you wouldn't normally look at.
Yep.
So you get more out than you put in most of the time.
I love it. Anybody else?
You know, I was going to say about your plowing.
Yeah.
The plowing and not looking back. To me, that means when you're working for God, if you look back, you're looking to see, what did I change? What did I do? Now, put it in a farmer context. If I'm plowing, I'm making the rough furrows. The next guy's coming by with a disc. He's making it more. Then you got the drag. He's dragging it smooth. And then you got the planter. So it's not so much of what you're doing. Don't look back and worry about it, because you might be making a furrow, but you don't know what's happening with that furrow you started.
Good. Wow. Thank you, sir. Love it. It's 45. We have, you know, I don't care to stay a couple extra minutes or we can be dismissed. Anybody got anything else? Thank you for listening to me. Don't tell anybody I cried. Let them find out by listening to this recording. Thank you all so much. Let's all have a great service.